the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. Walk with me, Lord. Please walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I need Jesus.
And I invite us to be seated. We are going to keep moving together in prayer. This is a prayer that comes to us from a theologian and philosopher and artist originally from Vietnam and now in the United States, and his name is Phuc Lu. And so I invite us to just be in a spirit of prayer. Here in the sanctuary, you will see the prayer in front of the screens for us to be in that spirit now.
Brown-skinned God, look upon the world you have entered with compassion, even to those who hung you up on that tree. For healing the sick and being with the despised, for seeing us as your image, mirror of the divine, all daughters and sons, helping them to paint a canvas with their pain, rendering their cries into poetry, words heard without need for refrain. As you sink down into the cursed cross, suffocating, you breathe your last. Brown skin God, do not abandon us. Both those who hung you there and those who took you down, to clean your battered and bloody body, treating it as if it were the same flesh and blood, the same fragile skin, that thing that separates you from me, that thing we all share.
If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need Him now. We sure do need Him now. Oh, sure do need Him now. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need Him now. We need Him every day and every hour. We need Him in the noonday, when the sun is shining bright. Oh, if we ever needed the Lord before,
we sure do need Him now.
We sure do need Him now.
Amen, and I invite us to be seated. Welcome again to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matthew Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as the co-pastors for this community of faith, and we are so grateful to root our lives in grace together each Sunday here, both in person and online at 9:30, to grow in faith through what we call weekly kitchen tables. These are the heartbeat of our community of faith, where we gather in small groups to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbors. Pastor Linda and I teach together a six-week series, which we call Growing in Faith, and it helps welcome newcomers into those kitchen tables that we share in life together with. We have two of those groups that'll be starting in March, and both of them are already full. And so we've just added a new group that'll begin on Tuesday, April the 19th. That'll meet online, so wherever you might be during those Tuesday evenings, you can join us online for that six-week series that'll share more about how we are together in life here at the table. our children grow in faith on Sunday mornings with godly play at 9:30 and then with loving childcare. All of that happens outside as we continue to find our way as safely as possible with great hope that there will soon be vaccines for our parents and families with little ones younger than 5. We are so looking forward to that moment. We, as a community, we reach and love in so many different ways. We had fabulous pictures that came in from the teams that were out with Habitat for Humanity, Build for Unity a week ago. Those homes have been constructed and families will be soon moving, living side by side with each other. And we're already looking forward to the next Build for Unity that we just found out will happen February of next year. So we will discern ways that we can come alongside other communities of faith to continue in that work. Already outside here in the front of the sanctuary, and then also in the back of our facility, you will see spaces where you can drop off soup, canned goods, dry goods. All of that will be delivered later by Penny and Bev and other folks that they have set up as leaders of our kitchen tables, who will take that down to the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership food closet to be distributed to neighbors there as we continue to find ways to reach and love. The folks out at the farm, if you don't follow Table Farm yet on social media, we'd encourage you to look it up on Instagram, Table Farm, Table Bread. They've done an amazing job of sharing some of the growth that we're experiencing out there, even during this season in which we have cover crops planting in the rows. We have a brand new greenhouse out on this space, and so you'll see more if you follow them on social media. Here in the sanctuary, around us, you'll see QR codes. If you'd like to follow along with what's happening in worship, you can do that by just using your phone, and there online, they will post a link to that. Molly and Chloe are with us online to serve as hosts, so if you have any questions, please reach out to them directly. Let them know. You can choose to sit in a virtual seat, and it functions much like Zoom does. If you're with us maybe for the first time, or you just want to stay in touch with what's happening here at the table, you can text the word new to the number there on your screen, and that'll enter you into a conversation with Linda, myself, Avery, Chloe, Brendan, the folks that make our team here, along with our musicians, to help us to share in life together. For folks that are in person, I have one more note for us, and then we're going to keep moving in worship, and that is around us in the pews, we hope you'll see these little green pieces of paper. And sorry, some of them are green, some of them are white. So you'll see either a green piece of paper or a white piece of paper. Both of them have the same text on it. It says, we breathe out, we breathe in. We'd hope you'll find one of those. We'll use that later in worship. There are also pencils around us that will come back to that. So that's enough of a prompt. And for the folks online, do not worry. You're going to be included in this process as well. And Linda will share more about that for us. We are going to keep moving in worship together. This is a song. We're going into blessed quietness. Am I right? Thank you, Omari. We are going to keep moving in worship, not to what my notes say, but to a song called Blessed Quietness, which we shared last Sunday. This is a song that comes to us with deep roots in the church to help people to connect to the love of God, the healing love of God. So I invite you in the sanctuary to stand as you are able and to join our voices. This is Blessed Quietness.
Joys are flowing like a river. Since the Comforter has come, who abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart a home. Oh, blessed quietness,
quietness.
Holy quietness,
quietness.
What a show.
Quietness.
Holy quietness.
Quietness.
We encourage those here in the sanctuary and our friends online to follow along with your own Bibles or with the words that you see on the screen as I share scripture from Luke 6, 17 through 26. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets."
Broken ground. Say, say.
mind.
Amen. Amen. Someday, in that song, you're going to be surprised because we're going to have dancers come in here. I just saw them. I just saw them from every place. Yeah. They're going to wear these flowy clothes. It's going to be beautiful. Yeah. Now I'm going to breathe and invite you to do the same. I just had an experience. This is the second week of our four-week series called Breathe. And in worship and in our kitchen tables, we are loosely rooting all of this in a very recently published book called Crisis Contemplation, The Healing of the Wounded Village, and it's written by the Reverend Dr. Barbara Holmes. Dr. Holmes is a beautiful spiritual teacher of mysticism and cosmology and culture. She's also the president emeritus of United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities, and now shows you what you can do in retirement. She serves among the core faculty of the Center of Action and Contemplation, alongside Richard Rohr and many others. And we're hoping that communal experiences will help us in these 4 weeks to more faithfully engage and address the crisis, the billows that we are so often finding ourselves blown over by and living within, both on our own individually and especially in community, in the midst of our exhaustion. When we announced the worship series, a few in our community generously shared a recent sermon with us by the Reverend Nadia Bowles-Weber. It was entitled Between Exhaustion and the Deep. And it seems that Nadia, too, is at a place of exhaustion. In our scripture last week, Jesus, maybe you remember this, said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered Jesus when he was instructed to do that, "Master, we have worked all night long and caught nothing." And in response to that scripture, Nadia wrote this: "This week, I started to realize that maybe we aren't at the shore people anymore anyhow. And maybe we haven't been for a very long time. In this text, we aren't a curious crowd just a few comfortable meters from home listening on a hill to Jesus. We are Peter, somewhere between exhaustion and the deep, trying to still have faith. In the midst of the wounding of our vast village, we are trying to still have faith." Well, this week our scripture points the way for us, for it contains the verses leading up to Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Jesus is back on dry land, on a mountain, actually, praying. He has just named apostles, and these blessings and woes we heard Avery read are delivered when he comes down the mountain onto the plain, the level ground. They are Jesus's first words to the newly commissioned disciples. Some call this his blessing and woes speech. And what we've heard actually is Jesus just getting started. Just so you know, there are 22 more verses, and that's all of us next week. But for today, let's notice together that prayer on the mountain is what guided Jesus' next steps, which were the choice of the 12. So he was praying, and he was choosing his 12. And his movement then into the people that awaited him for healing. I'm not trying to paint a picture, so I want to be clear about this, of a pious Jesus off by himself, you know, praying. It seems to me more like a huddle in the midst of the action, which would be appropriate for today, right? And also, maybe some of you have noticed over the years that Pastor Matt and I form a prayer circle with our Sunday morning team before worship begins. And we don't leave the area, although we are going outside right now so we can breathe. And it's like that. That's my picture of it. A huddle in the midst of the action, and then coming out of that, it's like Jesus is saying to everyone, whoa, stop right there. Before we go any further after this huddle, here's what I want you to know. You see, the gospel was written for Christians. They weren't called, we weren't called Christians back then. We were called people of the way. The gospel was written for people of the way of Jesus, living a generation or two after the first groups of believers had gathered. And in this teaching of Jesus, as so often is in his gospel, Luke is reminding his hearers that they are all called to live lives that are rich in God, no matter how long it seems to be taking for God's reign to be fully present. They were 2 years in and they were getting impatient. That's an important word for us as well. We're many generations in. Dr. Holmes points us towards living lives that are rich in God with her flow of crisis contemplation. And Pastor Matt shared it last week. It feels important to me for us to review it today. The flow is eclipse, moan, and stillness. Eclipse disrupts whatever is ordinary. Think of a solar eclipse. The sun's not actually gone. It's only hidden behind the moon, right? And though we may not look forward to walking around in the dark, it is a luminous dark in which we may discern blessings if we allow ourselves to slow down and rely on the rest of our senses, not just our sight. And then is the moan part of the movement. The eclipse gives space for what Dr. Holmes calls this, the moan, the utterance, which communicates the ineffability of crisis. And then after that comes stillness. Not merely silence, stillness. And Dr. Howard Thurman writes about stillness like this for us. In the stillness of quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart giving strength to weakness, courage to fear, and hope to despair. So if you were with us online and in person, last week worship was a little different. It was a disruption of sorts to our ordinary way of worship, our order. And the songs that we chose throughout worship rose out of the tradition of moaning in community through song. And in between, with the help of our music team, we practiced in here and at home stillness with the message and a contemplative practice that was encouraged for all of us by Dr. Holmes to feel the troubles of the world. And she tells us to breathe in deeply and then exhale our sense of helplessness, to inhale the strength of Ella Baker. Breathe out your sense of helplessness. Breathe in Rosa Parks' quiet resolve. So why is that important? Because we're all exhausted. Just leave that there, Ansel. And because we want to focus ourselves on listening for God, recognizing God's voice amidst the clamor of crisis after crisis. And when we practice our breathing, it prepares us to be courageous in the face of the woes of the world. I'm upset. I'm not really upset, I'm just moved. Because this is what that can look like. That's Bishop Leontine Kelly, who was a wonderful woman, and she ordained me, so I'm a little emotional, and I was there, so I'm even more emotional. And that's out at Lawrence Livermore Lab. 1985, Good Friday, protesting nuclear armament. And we all breathed together before we had communion. And so calmly, Bishop Kelly just walked out in the middle. She's very small, but she's got a huge presence. And that's a historic image for me about what it looks like when we practice our breathing in the face of woes. Here's a more recent one. This is Ms. Aisha L. Evans, 2020 Baton Rouge, Black Lives Matter. Both women are so calm in the midst of a lot of commotion and chaos. That's what contemplation in the midst of crisis can look like. The Holy Spirit last week during worship inspired a person in our community who attends online. And during our collective stillness, an actual melody came to her. It came into her head, she said, based on some of Dr. Holmes's phrases, and she was propelled, those are her words, to her piano. And then she wondered aloud in an email to us these words. There she is with her family, Kara Tupi. If our community were to collectively breathe out something, what would it be? Anxiety? Disillusionment? Fatigue? Despair? If we were to collectively breathe something in, what would that be? Hope? Strength? What themes would emerge from those that sit in the pews and sit in our homes or in our cars or on our walks online on Sunday morning? From those that watch on the Altar app, what goes on in you? What do we need to collectively breathe out from our kitchen table conversations? How could those themes be put to music, be given poetic life and a voice in our community, like a choral version of the art project that was begun? In part, you see the results here. So this is where we're heading today, and I'll say more in a minute about that. But I want to be clear that the scene Luke paints for us this morning is this. With a great crowd of his disciples, and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon, someone in my kitchen table said, that's a lot of people. They had all come to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd, they were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. A great crowd. They came to listen, to be healed, and to be cured. Philosopher and activist Bayo Okomolafe writes this. To be flawed, wronged, wounded is to recognize that we are in a world of other beings. We live and thrive and emerge in the orbit of other beings. And that is beautiful and tragic all at once. Wounds inflicted on the community occur because of a willingness to do to others what we wouldn't want to have happen to ourselves. And Dr. Holmes reassures us, it is not the wounding that is ultimate. It is the healing that is always possible. A shift of focus is needed, and if not a shift, then a coexistence of protests and trust that there will be a time when we can put a firm hand on the wound to stop the bleeding, and a time when we will be able to affirm that the trauma occurred, but healing is in process. The gaps that separate us, that exist between us, economic gaps, education, health, food deserts, the inequalities across creation mark the two sides of the blessings and the woes Jesus speaks about. And it's the gap that we are called to address by this passage for God's sake and for our own sake. It's what children of God do and what we repent of not having done, right? And hopefully we do that confident that God gives us new opportunities to live with generosity and attention. See, by giving sound and voice to our collective wounds, we become aware of the wounds beyond ourselves, the wounds of the community, the village. And ultimately, we can trust the leading of the Holy Spirit as it guides us towards mutual care and love of God, neighbors, and creation. So the question is, what is tragic that we need to breathe out as a community? And what is beautiful that we need to breathe in? And what rises from your gut, not mine, but yours, up into your throat that unsettles you and needs to be exhaled? And then what healing do you need to take into the whole of your body through your next breath? From where you're seated and where you are online, we have an invitation, we hope, to move as a community into contemplation by giving sound to our voice in a certain kind of a way. Don't worry, you don't have to get loud. If you're online, we're going to invite you to use the chat feature to share. If you are in the sanctuary, we invite you to notice that paper now. And the pencils. And Brendan's going to be with us. We're going to take about, when I say, Brendan, not now, 6 minutes, okay? 6 minutes is a long time for some of us. First, I invite you to focus on just your breath and what you're breathing out and what you need to let go of. And then I'm going to invite you to focus on what you need to breathe in. What strength you need, what resolve, maybe it's hope, maybe it's power, I don't know. And at some moment, if it comes to you, and if it doesn't, that's okay. We would love for you to jot those words down. It doesn't only have to be one, it can be more than that. Anytime during this 6 minutes. And it may feel a little disjointed. I have no idea how Brendan's going to play, but we trust each other. It may feel a little challenging, but that's why we're going to have music to help our breathing. And like contemplation in a crisis, I'm not going to direct. So I'm going to sit down for 6 minutes too. And as these minutes unfold, we hope you'll just feel led to breathe in and breathe out. You can move to the candles if you want. And you'll know we're winding up when we pray at the end. And then we'll move into communion. And I'll invite you to share those, and you'll just place them up here somewhere. And I'll invite the people online to place theirs in the chat where we'll record them. And then our musicians will take all of that and we'll have a song next week, which will be the woes and the blessings of our community woven together. So stay where you are. Move to the candles. Walk around. Nothing may come. Trust God and yourself.
Thank you.
wounds inflicted on the community occur because of a willingness to do to others what we would not want to happen to us or ours. And it is not the wounding that is ultimate. It is the healing that is always possible. Amen.
Amen. A traditional African wisdom saying reminds us that the times are urgent. Let us slow down. And so it was as Jesus and those closest to him felt the urgency of what it would actually mean to disrupt the empire of their day, that Jesus, who could have chosen anything in that moment, chose to slow down and to break bread with those closest to him. And it is that practice which the followers of the way have held at the heart of how we share in life together. And so we pause to join with that long line of contemplatives, from Jesus to Bishop Kelly, to those that might rise in your own heart in this moment, who have faced crisis with God holding them at the center. And we practice doing this as a community in part by also acknowledging the ways that we don't always show up for our neighbors in the way that God longs for us to. And so the church has a practice of every week pausing to recognize our shortcomings and then to trust that God meets us right where we are and calls us to new life, never letting us go. And the church calls that a prayer of confession and an assurance of pardon, and I invite us into that movement now. And I invite us in the sanctuary, those here in the sanctuary, and even for those who are gathered online, it may be helpful in this moment to stand as well. So I invite us to stand as you are willing and able. And we will share together in this prayer of confession, acknowledging with one voice the ways in which we fall short. So Ansel is going to help us to move to our next screen. There we go. So with one voice, let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We do to others what we do not want for ourselves. We neglect the blessed quietness. We fail to recognize that we are in a world of other beings. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. Friends, God is giving strength to all who are experiencing weakness, courage to every place of fear, and hope to every feeling of despair. So may you know and trust in the depths of your beings God's blessed assurance for you, and for all of creation. Amen.
Amen. And let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church through the ages, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within our neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son, the body. Lord, make us new.
bless your name and take part in this holy communion. Make us all one to love like your Son. The body is broken.
Us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples, and we encourage everyone to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered here and spread across many places. Pour your Spirit upon these gifts which are now before us. Make this for us the body and the love of Christ. And make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. And all does mean all. And we encourage all of our friends that are online to, at this time, gather close to you your bread and juice if you haven't already done that. And whatever form that is A-okay. So that we are all sharing in this sacred time of breaking bread at the same time. For those of us who are in the sanctuary, Avery will direct you down the center aisle and out this door, around the back and back into the sanctuary. As you come forward, if words came to you and you are comfortable sharing that, we would love for you to put them up here. These are old antique communion trays, if you're wondering. They're not hubcaps. Yeah. Some of us knew that, and some of us don't, right? And just place them here, no worries.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for you. Thank you. loving God, we give you thanks for this divine dance through which you are revealed to creation, through the simple and sacred movement of breaking bread and sharing a cup at a table to which all are welcomed. So may your peace bind us together with the assurance of your grace that we could find ourselves connecting with neighbors across every divide in and through your love. Amen. We want to encourage you to continue responding to God, and that could take many forms. It may be continuing to work on what you are breathing in and breathing out, to write that down and to share that, to make that your own prayer practice as the week unfolds. These will be up here if you want to continue to work on that or to share that online. We encourage you to do just that. Outside, for those that are gathered here in this space, you will see vehicles that are ready to take food to our neighbors through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. For those that might be gathering in this moment from further away, we would encourage you, wherever you happen to be, to find one of those food closets that's nearby you and to reach in love in the ways that you are able. Many of us make giving to support this community part of the way that we respond to God's love in our life. We do that through what we call deep commitments, through giving online. There are also places to give here in the sanctuary. There are also ways to text. You can text any amount that you would like to make as a gift to the number that's there on the screen, and those will go to support our community in aligning with God's love in the world. As we prepare to go out, I want to make a note for those of us gathering online. Chloe and Molly will move us in just a moment at the end of this song into some virtual coffee tables to give an opportunity for each of us to connect with one another. And that functions much like Zoom, but you will have to sign in to take part in that. We don't have to sign in, those of us in person, in this way, but we would encourage you to connect with one another outside. We're able to take masks off out there for those of us that feel safe doing that. If you want to keep it on, you're welcome to continue moving in that way. We have a COVID-19 response team, which we'll continue to watch as guidelines and guidance might shift in the coming weeks here in Sacramento, and we'll be as attentive as we can, trying to err on the side of caution, but also being responsible to ways that we might feel freer in the weeks ahead than we are right now. So we will do our best to be in that together. Our musicians are going to help us. We're going to go out this morning to revive us again. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able and to go out together in song.
Going to go forth with these words from, so I have my contacts on, and Matt, I can't read this, it's too small. Sorry, I'm sorry. I was not expecting that.
We're in trouble if it's too small for me, too. Hear this blessing that comes to us from Barbara Holmes. To the fallen and the wounded, rest. To the future soon coming, hurry. To the children who imagine more, don't get weary. And to the hope and healing on its way, don't delay. Amen.